teacher.
Andrew told me, but I didn't believe him at first. He's the Messiah. I know it sounds impossible, but I saw it with my own eyes. He made boatfuls of fish appear out of nowhere. And the words he spoke, the one John told Andrew was the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, it was him. And then he called me to follow him. And Andrew, James, and John to go where he goes and to learn from him. And he said that I wouldn't be a fisherman anymore, but that I would catch people instead. I don't even know what that means, but I'm sure what I saw. He's the one we've been waiting for all our lives, and I want to quit fishing and leave the sea behind to go. I know it makes no sense, and I knew it would make you upset. All I can tell you is that this is... Sinful man.
Everyone is sinful.
I don't know what this means. I don't know yet how I'm going to provide.
I don't care about that.
Then why are you crying?
Because someone finally sees in you what I have always seen. You're more than a fisherman.
You know, I will travel sometimes. I don't want you to feel abandoned.
You have to go with him. How could I feel abandoned? I feel saved.
Eden, it's not gonna be easy.
When have we ever had anything easy?
Peter, our holy hero, feeling that he is a sinner. That's what he says. Having the difficulty to understand that he just might be worthy of what God's called him to do. I'm Benny Soto. I'm the evangelism outreach pastor here. Just so honored and to be here speaking. Thank you for that. Just so privileged. I can't say that enough. And hopefully I do this justice. We're looking at a holy hero named Peter. Feeling that idea of that, is he worthy? A sinner saved by grace. That's the phrase. Kind of like me, sinner. I grew up in a poor home. I remember many times having to give the older brother at the house, giving my brother a can of SpaghettiOs and a can of raviolis and a can of corn and that was supper. No one home. I remember domestic violence and that abuse. I remember, you know, segregation and desegregation and being in the inner city Cleveland and experienced more racism than I ever had in my whole life. I remember being a drunkard. A sinner. And yet God showed up. God showed up and said, you're worthy. Saved by grace. We're going to look at Peter's life. And we're going to see and hopefully draw some things from that. I'll be in the book of Matthew. Chapter 16, starting at verse 21, Jesus is predicting what is going to happen. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Raised to life. Peter took him aside. See, you got to understand, Peter took him aside. He decided to leave his family. He's following Jesus. He takes who he thinks is the Messiah aside. Hey, wait a minute. Let me tell you something. That seems to be what he's about to do. And he says, "Never, Lord," he said, "this shall never happen to you." And Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." Now, I don't know about you, but this seems to be an awful, large, huge, enormous blunder on Peter's part. This seems to be pretty big. Just the experience, he's being affected spiritually to say something to pull Jesus aside. No. And Jesus rebukes him to say, "Get behind me, Satan." That seems an awful big blunder. But we got a few more. Peter is really good at that. Peter seems to find himself in a position where he's just kind of on opposite sides of what is happening. Kind of like me. I've made a lot of mistakes too. In Mark chapter 14, we're going to pick up again this story of how Peter just does this over and over again. Verse 37. They went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death," he said to them. "Stay here and keep watch." That's the scene. Jesus is going to pray. He's feeling deeply distressed. He tells his three, his inner circle, "Keep watch. Just keep watch." He comes back and they have fallen asleep. He says, "Hey, can't you stay awake? Just stay awake. Can't you just..." And he goes back to pray again. He comes back and the guys are just... "Give me a minute." And he finds him asleep again. Now, I don't know about you, but they've been together about 3 years. Jesus is praying. His trusted inner circle has gone with him. They have left everything to become a Christ follower. And in the moment when Jesus is needing them, guess what they're doing? They're asleep. How many of you have ever fallen asleep at church? No, don't answer that. But it's like, you know, you're in your office and you doze off and the big boss comes in. You just don't do that. You would find a way to stay awake. And Jesus finds them sleeping. "Peter, you can't stay awake?" He even calls him out. Verse 30, "Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. Simon," he said to Peter, "are you asleep? Could you not keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray that you will not fall into temptation." And that seems to be kind of a big blunder. Now, I know we had offering. I don't know if you're like me. I never carry cash. But if you do have some, try and find, go through your bills, find the most worn out, tattered bill you have. Go ahead, try and find it. It's a sermon illustration. Bear with me. Find it And while you're trying to find it, let me go to the next one. So, in the book of John, chapter 13, starting at verse 6. Chapter 13, he came to Simon Peter. See, Jesus is coming to him again. And he's doing something that's really strange. He's washing everyone's feet. This is the Benny paraphrase, so, you know, go along with me. He's washing their feet, and Simon gets ready, and he's like, I'm not letting you wash my feet. What are you talking about? These stinky feet, dirty, right? Think of how bad they were back then. And Jesus is saying, if I don't wash your feet, you can have nothing to do with me. And Peter is like, well, then don't just wash my feet. Wash my head and my body as well. Realizing, I think he just made another blunder. And so we kind of keep going. In John chapter 18, starting at verse 1. When he had finished praying, Jesus left his disciples and crossed the Kidron Valley. And on the other side, there was an olive grove. And he said to his disciples, and he and his disciples went into it. Now Judas, who betrayed him, knew the place because Jesus had often met the disciples there. So Judas came to the grove, guiding a detachment of soldiers and some officials from the chief priests and the Pharisees. They were carrying torches, lanterns, and weapons. Jesus, knowing all that was going to happen to him, went out and asked them, who is it that you want? Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. I am he, Jesus said. And Judas, the traitor, was standing there with them. When Jesus said, I am he, Peter grabs his sword and cuts off the ear of one of them. And Jesus, this is the Betty paraphrase again, Peter, what are you doing? Picks up that ear and heals the man. Pretty big miracle. Heals him. And Peter, kind of a big blunder, I think, again. Peter always finding himself in that place where he seems to be making large mistakes as he's following Christ. Again, 3 years, he left his family, been with them, ate with them, had meals, been praying and fallen asleep, been with him, walked with him, traveled. And yet, Peter finds himself always in a place where Jesus is Now, I know about you, but I'm probably going to make a lot of huge mistakes. And Pastor Brian, I just hope you could be like Jesus when I do. So we'll pick up the story in John chapter 18, starting at verse 15. Simon Peter and another disciple were following Jesus. Because this disciple was known to the high priest, he went in with Jesus into the high priest's courtyard. But Peter had to wait outside at the door. The other disciple who was known to the high priest came back, spoke to the girl on duty there, and brought Peter in. You are not one of his disciples, are you? The girl asked at the door to Peter. And Peter replied, I am not. It was cold, and the servants and officials stood around a fire they had made to keep warm, and Peter also was standing with them, warming himself. Now, I don't know about you, but again, this seems to be another big blunder. Hey, aren't you the one of his disciples? Don't you follow him? I am not, Peter says. And it continues. This is the first time. So meanwhile, the high priest questioned Jesus about his disciples and his teaching. If we go a little bit further, in verse 25, as Simon Peter stood warming himself, he was asked, You are not one of his disciples, are you? He denied it, saying, I am not. Kind of another same but big blunder. Now, if you got that bill out, probably the worn out one that you have, do you know its experiences? Do you know where it's been? They say most bills have been around a crime. Most bills have been around where something bad has happened, a murder. They say that most bills in the U.S. have been used for drugs, some of them quite literally. It's been around. And yet, if you look at it, what is that bill worth? It's worth whatever that bill says it is. It hasn't gone away. No matter what it's seen, no matter what it's done, no matter where it's been, it's still worth that amount. And I think our worth with God is no matter where we've been, no matter what we've seen, no matter what has happened to us, we're still have worth. Worth. Peter keeps on making large mistakes, big blunders, and yet he's still around. He still has opportunity. So let's continue. I am not one of the high priest's servants, a relative of the man whose Peter had cut off, whose ear Peter had cut off. Challenged him. And this girl was there, saw him do it. Aren't you one of his? And again, Peter denied it. And at that moment, a rooster crowed. I was going to try to have a real one up here, but it just got too messy. He denies it. In the other Gospels, Peter denies it with such veracity, it's so hard that he brought a curse upon himself. And yet, Jesus, I think, still finds him worthy to have worth, to be saved by grace. We see this again in John chapter 21, where Jesus reinstates Peter back into the fold, which implies almost a way where Peter felt like, I'm done, I'm out, I'm no longer one of them. I can't be. And yet Jesus shows up to say, Peter, you are one of them. You are worthy. So much so that we pick up this beautiful story now in Acts chapter 2. Blunder after blunder after blunder. And Jesus still calls him. He still has worth. And so, bear with me. This is a lot of scripture. But listen to what happens with Peter as he addresses this large crowd of people. This is after, again, all of his mistakes, after all the times he just blew it. Verse 14, then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. Guess if you're drunk at 9 in the morning, whew. No, this is what was spoken to you by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all the people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will turn to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did among you. Which God did among you. With the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to a cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. David said about this about him, I saw the Lord always before me, because he at my right hand will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body will also live in hope, because you have not abandoned me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. Brothers, I can tell you confidently that Patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him an oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was ahead, he spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that he was not abandoned to the grave, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all his witnesses of the fact. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promise. The Holy Spirit has poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? This man, blunder after blunder, being used by God in a mighty way, talking to thousands, and what he has to say is everything he knows about what he has been given. Brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. And just like every preacher who goes way too far and too long, this is why we do it. With many other words, he warned them. He pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Repent and be baptized. Blunder after blunder, God brought him back. Brothers, what shall we do? Repent and be baptized. So, as the team comes forward, as I pray, maybe that's exactly what you need to do. This morning at 8 o'clock, we had someone who got baptized. It doesn't get any better than that. And maybe that's what you need to do too, right here, right now. So as this song is played, as I pray, maybe you just need to come forward right here and do that. Some of the evangelism team that we're putting together is here, and they might be able to help you also. The staff can walk you through a prayer. Maybe this is your time. I know for me, God has done incredible things. And I know he's real. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, as we come before you with maybe all of our blunders, with all of our mistakes, would you allow us to see ourselves as worthy? Would you allow us to feel that we're worthy? God, would you bring the Holy Spirit around us in a way where we can just have a glimpse of how you see us? And Father, for those who are here, could I repent and be baptized too? In Jesus' name, amen.